Anything can be believed, anything can happen, and we see a darker side of human nature. When Goody Nurse replied, "More weight," as a heavy stone was placed on her chest, it is reasonable to believe that she knew she had no hope and that her situation was purely political. When is a false report not a lie to cause harm? When is a false testimony not a lie to cause harm? When is perjury not a lie to cause harm? When is a lie that causes harm not a crime? When is making false witness against your neighbor not a sin? There are times that people choose to believe and would have others believe. It simply won't stand the test of time. When good men and good women stand and do nothing, evil reigns. What can we learn from Salem? A community that relies on rumor and has an active rumor mill is not a healthy community. A rumor that is willing to accept gossip, purely verbal information instead of fact, is a community where anything can happen. There's a lack of integrity in the leadership of any community that is willing to accept and perpetuate the incredible. But this is not Salem. And simple words, a simple lie can't destroy a life, or can it? There's a lie on this disc. I attempted to report this lie. Harm is going to come from this lie. It takes a good deal of courage to say this. I have no choices in this matter. I believe we invest ourselves in honesty or deceit, and that wrong, like interest, is compounded daily, and it will be compounded this week. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mark Phillips, followed by Rick Matthews.
Good morning. My name is Mark Phillips. I'm from Atascadero, and I'm here to speak about a draft resolution that I would like to present to the board regarding genetic engineering, the labeling of genetically engineered food. Previously, I've come to the board and explained to you my intentions to do this. I've presented you with this resolution by way of email, and I've asked for your comments by way of email if you have any concerns or reservations about this. And I didn't hear any concerns or reservations about this. I've also asked the public to contact us by way of our website, slogefree.org. Again, I have not received any negative comments about this at all. I don't have time to read the entire resolution. It's not very long, but I have a couple other comments to make. So I'm just going to hit a couple of high points. It's a fairly simple resolution. There's a couple of whereases. The first one saying consumers have a right to know what genetically engineered foods they are eating. Another one down here says citizens from around the world have called upon their governments to label genetically engineered foods. More than 24 industrialized nations have either passed or enacted labeling requirements. These countries include the 15 nations that make up the European Union, as well as Japan, South Korea, Thailand, Australia, New Zealand, and many others. Even China has agreed to label genetically engineered foods. I think if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for the United States. At the end, it just says, therefore, be it resolved that the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors, on behalf of the citizens of San Luis Obispo County, do hereby urge our representatives at both the state and the federal level to support efforts to require mandatory labeling of GE foods. In particular, we urge our federal representatives to support Dennis Kucinich's Genetically Engineered Food Right to Know Act of 2003, otherwise known as H.R. 2916, in every possible way. We also urge the U.S. FDA to move forward with provisions for GE labeling. Now, I understand that some of the members of the board would prefer to wait until they hear back from the Health and Ag Commissions, the task force on GE food and crops, before they address this issue, and I can appreciate that, although I have to confess I can't imagine what they would come back with that's going to change the fact that a vast majority of people want labeling. That fact is not going to change regardless of what the commissions come back with. Still, even though the Ag Commission is not going to address this issue, at least according to Bob Lilly's description of the Ag Commission, the Health Commission probably will, and I will certainly go to them and try to get them to address this resolution, and hopefully sooner rather than later, so we don't have to wait till the end of the year when the entire report is done. Maybe we can address this issue sooner. And I would like some assurance from the board that at that time, when you feel you have the proper information from those commissions, that you will put this on agenda and discuss it so we can take a vote on it. Thank you.
And thank you for your comments. Rick Matthews, followed by Pandora Nash-Carner.
Morning, Madam Chair and honorable board members. My name is Rick Matthews, and I was recently honored by Supervisor Patterson when he appointed me to the County Parks and Rec Commission representing the 5th District. I'm also currently the chair of the Atascadero Parks and Rec Commission, having served that board for the last 6 years. I'm here today to urge you to really support your Parks Division in the upcoming budget review. The fact that funding for the Parks Division has not kept pace with the general fund or the public's needs was recently underscored in the grand jury inquiry report titled Out on a Dead Limb. And as a new member of the commission, I'm alarmed about the status of our facilities and what the future may be like for parks in this increasingly growing county. Looking into it, I discovered that in the last 5 years, overall park salaries have had to increase 39%. Workers' comp has increased an appalling 142%. Parks utilities costs have gone up 48%. The square footage to maintain for the Parks Division has increased 39%. And over the same period, the general fund contribution to parks have increased 6%. Not even enough to pay for one bad year's increase in workers' comp expenses. It would appear that our parks staffers are heroically hanging on for dear life on that dead limb. Why heroically? Well, looking around, observing, despite the decreasing share of funding, they've done very well with their resources, but it can't continue indefinitely. The signs of strain are there, as noted in the grand jury's findings. My day job is a landscape contractor, and as a businessman, it's obvious that when costs go up and the size of the job goes up, then one has to charge more for the job. The alternative won't last for long. I'd hope that we can exceed the minimum recommended increases in several key areas in order to meet our current needs. Items like deferred landscape maintenance projects, tree trimming, equipment replacement, and grounds maintenance materials, to name a few. These things need more funding in order to stop the bleeding. Let's return to the traditional parks budget that the park manager is submitting. Then we need to look ahead. It'll take more than the absolute minimum to make these services and facilities effectively work for us in the future. The benefits that residents and visitors derive from a healthy park system more than pay for the investment, if we could only afford the study to prove it. I'd like to see us get past this undervaluing of what these programs and facilities do for us and allow our Parks Division to return to our commitments to the county's mission statement, to serve the community with pride, to enhance the economic, environmental, and social quality of life in San Luis Obispo County. Thank you.
Thank you. Pandora Nash-Carner, followed by Eric Greening.
Good morning. I'm Pandora Nash-Carner, Park Commissioner for District 2. Our parks and golf courses host over 3.5 million people annually. Since 1970, our county population has increased 140%. County park acreage has increased 12%. And full-time park staff has increased by 6%. We're trying to do more for more people with far less. Our county's mission statement, as you know, says that we're committed to serving the community with pride to enhance the economic, environmental, and social quality of life. And the results that you say we're looking for are safe, healthy, livable, prosperous, and well-governed communities. But our budget restrictions are making these goals impossible. We can't afford to trim dying trees. We can't control disease-carrying rodents. Parks are not a luxury, but are a very vital part of a healthy society. National studies show that strong park programs create huge benefits, like reduced health care costs and incarceration rates, reduced juvenile crime activities, increased property values near parks, workplace productivity, and increased revenues to counties and cities. Economic benefits are a catalyst for tourism, and as you know, we have a $1 billion tourism industry annually, locally. And one of the prime reasons people from out of the area say they come here is to escape the urban area and utilize our recreational opportunities. According to the trend analysis for park and recreation for 2000 and beyond, quote, recreation is a sector worth nearly $7 billion annually in terms of its contribution to the economy. What are we doing as far as healthier workforces and less money spent on incarceration, and what is that worth? We can't measure how many heart attacks parks prevented, and we can't measure how many kids stayed out of trouble because of our park system. The analysis also states that recreation and parks are a critical factor in quality of life and community economic vitality, And those are not just esoteric concepts. In a survey of corporate managers, quality of life was the number one reason for selecting an area to move to and to move a business to. Recreational amenities is one of the core of the 12 values that they stated. Parks are more than Johnny and Susie in a swing set. They're about our economy and our health. We must begin to provide not only for the future, but we need to worry about today. We do need to stop the bleeding. Please adopt the traditional budget just to get us back to where we were. That's $320,000 more than what's currently being recommended. Because if we can't take care of what we have today, it's only going to cost more in the future. And what are we losing dramatically economically in the meantime? Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Eric Greening, followed by Michael Kovacs.
Good morning. I'm Eric Greening, and three quick topics. Topic number one, I'd just like to express my gratitude for the withdrawal from the consent agenda of the contract with Diebold Election Systems. This is not the kind of thing that should simply slip in quietly, and I don't know when or if it's coming back, but it deserves a very full airing and discussion if it does. Number two, sick building syndrome. This is a new building. Some of us do smell chemicals when we're here. Some of us experience symptoms of one kind or another. That raises two issues. Number one, I hope the county will deal very compassionately with people who have moved their jobs into this building and are suffering symptoms. Number two, and this is something I asked before the move took place, please make the ability to testify by telephone available. There are a lot of people who are more sensitive than I am who may not be able to enter this building at all until the chemical levels come down. And so this is a civil rights issue. It's a Section 504 issue, and it needs to be taken seriously. Number three, in terms of protecting our health and taking it seriously, I very strongly second all the remarks made by Mark Phillips and also urge you to support the resolution to allow people to know what we're taking into our bodies. And I particularly support his request that it be sooner rather than later. We don't have to invent county legislation. We're not writing a county ordinance on this. The labeling legislation is happening at other levels. The Kucinich bill has already been written. The things that take time in the county process are creating a new ordinance and getting it right. We don't need to take that time. We don't need to go through the long referrals and wordsmithing to get something of our own right. This is something rather that's in the category of our legislative platform, and it's quite often that pieces of the legislative platform are brought back quickly in response to public need, public comment, or simply the awareness that legislation is there that affects the people of our county. So I also urge you to detach this from the schedule of any local ordinances involving GMO agriculture and all the rest of this. This is an entirely different process, and it can move swiftly, and I ask you that it does. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Eric. Michael Kovacs, followed by the Reverend C. Height.
She was first.
Yes, I am Michael Kovacs, one of the 135,000 unincorporated citizens, residents,
Thank you.
A property owner, and many, many of this county's over 1,000 fees and taxes. And not lastly, I am an honored and proud citizen by the invitation of the President of the United States, President Eisenhower. I am also a citizen for honest county representation, elected by elected public servants, and I am a citizen who resent being governed by unelected county bureaucrats paid up to 100% more than the private sector's employees in this county. About a fortnight ago, your board approved the San Miguel project by a 3-2 votes. I wish to call Supervisor Bianchi's and Patterson's attention to our county's mission set by our founding fathers and included in our county seal. Used to be over your head, but not anymore. Somebody moved it. The county seal, which states, quote, not for ourselves alone. Can't you get that message, Supervisor Patterson? Let's not return back to the Blakely era. We want you to support quality growth and not county government growth, which doubled since this county used to be number one in our great state of California. Yes, doubled from $800 per capita to $1,650 per capita. Yes, $1,650 for every child, woman, and man located residing in this county. And if we consider the unincorporated residents only, which should be, because besides you there are seven more city governments and you are supposed to be governing the 135,000 unincorporated area only, in that case, instead of $1,650, we have over $3,000 county government cost per unincorporated residents in this county.
And your time is up. Thank you. And it's Teresa Campbell. I mistakenly called the Reverend C. Hyde, but Teresa Campbell is next, followed by Michael Mara.
Hello, I'm Teresa Campbell from Cambria, California, and I have a letter to read from the North Coast Advisory Council to the original copy would be addressed to Shirley Bianchi and copies sent to Jack Gibson, who is the manager of the Cambria Farmers Market, the Lions Club, where the board of the Cambria Farmers Market resides, and the letter will also be sent to Janice Price from the State Farmers Market Board. So this is from the NCAC. Last November, Cambria was one of several areas in the county to vote yes on Measure Q, the initiative to prohibit the growing of genetically engineered crops in SLO County. There is much confusion in the public regarding GE crops, including A, what is a GE plant, B, what GE plants are grown in SLO County, C, are GE crops tested and shown to be safe to eat. There are several concerns regarding GE crops. One, unknown long-term health implications, even though mankind has manipulated genetics since the first seed was saved and replanted. Genetic engineering is a very recent technique accomplished only in the lab that transfers genes from one species to another. This process puts into our food genes that humans have never before eaten, such as viruses and bacteria. Two, no independent testing. Our regulatory agencies, the USDA, FDA, and EPA, are not testing these foods, instead have declared them substantially equivalent to conventional foods. These agencies rely on the corporations who make the products to test the products for safety. Three, risk of contamination of GE to conventional and organic crops. Unlike other technologies such as pesticides, GE crops cannot be recalled. Contamination can occur in many different ways, such as seed contamination, pollination, and post-harvest mixing. Trying to keep GE crops separate from organic and conventional crops has failed, as evidenced in the recent scientific study showing that between 0.5 and 1% of conventional and organic seed stocks are contaminated with GE varieties. Four, potential for mistakes. As the acreage of GE crops and test crops increase, the potential for mistakes increases. Several such instances have already occurred, such as Starlink and Syngenta, and the Syngenta recent discovery that it has mistakenly used the unapproved BT10 gene in corn seed. The U.S. is still feeling trade repercussions because of these mistakes. It is apparent from the results of the voting on Measure Q that the citizens of Cambria want to know if and when they are eating GE foods. The public feels they have the right to know. For this reason, the NCAC, in seeking to provide a voice to the public, formally requests that the Cambria Farmers Market ask its vendors to label their products so that customers will know if they're buying locally grown genetically engineered produce. This could be done by each vendor simply placing a sign in front of their stand and not requiring each and every item sold to have a sticker. Such a sign would be sufficient, with the requirement that if a vendor is selling GE produce, it be labeled clearly. Your attention to this matter is both important to and appreciated by the citizens of Cambria. Sincerely, NCAC.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you very much.
Michael Mara, followed by Elizabeth Johnson.
Good morning. My name is Michael Mara. I've been a county resident since 1977, and I would like to thank you for allowing me to get up here and speak this morning. I am here to urge you to support the GMO labeling resolution that Mark Phillips has been at you about for a while. The core issue facing most of us, when you skip down to the very basics, is the purity and the quality of our food supply. And we deserve the right to know what we're eating. These companies, Monsanto, Syngenta, and the list goes on, have managed to defeat getting this stuff labeled on products in the supermarket. So what they're doing basically, in effect, is conducting a big lab experiment on Americans. And other countries that don't allow this stuff in their food supply are watching very carefully to see what happens to our children. You know, the children eating a lot of breakfast cereal. 75% of the soybeans in the U.S. now are genetically engineered, much of the corn, much of the wheat, much of the rice. And so we're feeding this stuff to our kids. We're being lab rats for these large companies, and I feel this is morally, ethically wrong. I do not accept this. And as a consequence, I won't buy these products. There's a lot of other countries that won't allow us to export this stuff to them because they know better. They know better than there have been no, as Teresa mentioned, long-term studies. We don't know what this stuff does to people over the long term. There have been studies on rats that were force-fed it that had abnormal organ sizes. They developed tumors. They developed lesions, all sorts of really nasty stuff. And we don't know if this happens to humans or not. And, you know, Monsanto doesn't care. I mean, by not having it labeled, what they're in effect doing is experimenting on us, and then there's no culpability later. There's no traceability to whether the genetically engineered ingredients actually cause any trouble because we don't know if they're in there or not. And this is just wrong. In a free society, this is wrong. So, anyways, I can't add much to what they add. They had a lot of technical information. I could, you know, bury you guys in that kind of stuff if you probably weren't already. And that's not my point here. I'm just here to urge you guys to support this. This is important to a lot of us. For every one of us that shows up, there's hundreds more behind us that don't have the time, they have jobs, different things. They don't like public speaking. You know, there's a various number of reasons, but we have a lot of support behind us in the county. So, thank you, guys.
Thank you. Elizabeth Johnson, and that is my last request to speak form for public comment. So if there's anyone else, please fill out a form and bring it forward. Yes, please.
Hi, my name's Elizabeth Johnson. I reside in San Luis Obispo. Last month, on May 19th, Alaska's governor signed into law our nation's first labeling legislation for genetically engineered food. The bill to require conspicuous labeling for genetically engineered fish was passed in the Alaska Senate by unanimous vote in early May. The failure of our federal regulatory agencies to promote clear labeling in food can be corrected by local and state actions that advise or require GE labeling. I urge this Board of Supervisors...
Excuse me a moment. This is the middle of a board meeting. If you could wait just a moment, please. Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'll give you another couple of seconds.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
I urge this Board of Supervisors to pass such a resolution in support of labeling. You'll be a voice for 9 out of 10 Americans who want to know the genetic source of the food they purchase. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. I have one last.
He said that he filled out one for both consent and public comment.
Ah, Mr. Rue. Sorry about that. I thought you just wanted public comment on item B9.
I apologize for the interruption. I didn't realize it'd be that much of an interruption. Thank you. Chairwoman Bianchi and members of the Board of Supervisors. My name is Jerry Rio. I'm the Executive Director of the San Luis Obispo County Housing Trust Fund, and I'm here for a couple of reasons. Primarily to thank you for the support that you've provided over the past few years. Your support of the Housing Trust Fund has made it possible for us to grow and develop into a strong organization. I wanted to give you an update as well and pass out copies of our new annual report. We have raised funds for operating for our first 3 years of operation. We raised $1 million in lending capital, are about to receive a second $1 million in lending capital. We've closed one loan to provide affordable housing, and we're talking with two developers about additional loans. So we are helping you with the affordable housing crisis, and I wanted to thank you for that. And I also wanted to comment that that Dana Lilly and his staff have been doing a great job with the housing issue. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, and I apologize to you, too. We have had other people come up illegitimately. So, thank you. That concludes our public comments, so this is the time for the consent agenda, and I have several requests to speak forms on the consent agenda. We'll follow the same process. The first speaker is Julie Rodewall, followed by Jerry Rue.
Good morning, Julie Rodewall, County Clerk Recorder. I know by item B19 has been withdrawn, and we're planning on bringing that back to your board on June 28th, but I just wanted to make a couple of comments about it. The contract in question is for a voter registration management system. I've heard some comments outside the board chambers and this morning there may be concerns that we're replacing our voting system. We are retaining our optical scan voting system. This is a replacement of about 35-year-old technology to manage our voter registrations and sending the sample ballots and that sort of thing. I also would urge any public, Eric, or any other public who has questions about this to come and talk with me. We can demonstrate the efficiencies that this is going to bring to our office, and again, we will be bringing it back to you on the 28th. The reason it was withdrawn is that we were having just a few last-minute negotiations trying to get the contract signed, and I couldn't get it to your board in time to put it on the agenda today. So thank you.
Thank you. Jerry Rue, followed by, I guess, Mr. Rue left. No, if you could come forward, you're the next speaker. But I'll have Vera Wallens closer so she can... You can come to the other microphone, Mr. Rue. And then we will get to our county administrator.
Okay, I am Vera Wallen with the League of Women Voters. I'm here to talk to you about our housing position and support, as Mr. Rue did, the planning department, and the report that you have is B9 on your item here, on your consent agenda. Our organization has, and I know you've heard this before, but I want to say it to you again as you're looking at your report on your progress on the housing element. Our league supports policies, long-range planning, and actions which increase the supply of safe, decent, adequate, and affordable workforce housing. And for us, we define that as people who earn between 50% and 120% of the median income in our county. And they are the workforce. They are the people who are doing our work, like police, like teachers, like store clerks, and those folks. We support both rentals and home ownership, and we want to ensure, at the same time, livable neighborhoods and sustainable communities. We have an action plan for this. We've been implementing it this year. I want to review that with you quickly. And we also have objectives that we're working on that I'll make a little comment about at the end. We've been monitoring the housing element for the county and the cities. We've been following media reports about housing. And our question there is the commitment being met? And we look for numbers, or I look for numbers. Second, we've been speaking out in public, like now and many other times. We've attended meetings in support of workforce housing at cities and the county. We use our state position on housing, which is similar, but it's more general, and our local one that is workforce, to write letters and editorials, and you've no doubt seen those. And then we've held seminars about housing matters for our own members to educate them on what is happening and open them to the public so that people can learn more about this. In terms of our objectives, we support all of the items that your county housing element includes. And I was very interested to read not only the general report that you got this time, but the several special reports that have been prepared and that are going to be prepared. Your timeline at the end of your report shows a schedule of events that are happening. We've been a little discouraged in our work with some of the reduction that happens because we're continuing, as housing groups always do, to have concerns expressed by citizens. And so we're going to continue to work with that in our education part. And I want to just encourage you, encourage the staff to continue their work. And again, we're wanting to look for numbers to see the number for these people increasing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Edge. Well, I was going to ask you whether your comments could wait till the end of the consent. Okay. And Mr. Rue, followed by Jerry
Bunin. Thank you again. I just wanted to compliment the staff for the fine work that they're doing, and I want to encourage you to support their efforts. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Jerry Bunin, followed by the Reverend C. Height.
Jerry Bunin, Government Affairs Director at Home Builders Association. Nice house, folks.
Thank you.
I like the screen, particularly the bottom part. The top half is kind of distracting. That's where I'm trying to look down. Definitely trying to look down, so it's not personal. I'm going to just have a few general comments today on the housing element issues. I'll clearly want to talk a lot more when you talk about things like inclusionary and the zoning. I think, generally speaking, one of the things I really want to recommend is that you do not do all of this in public hearings. The more you can do in workshops that encourage more debate and dialogue, and the more meetings you're going to have with people, I think the better the ordinances you're going to wind up with. We did a lot of these similar things with Santa Barbara County, and that was a really successful format, although the public consistently complained they didn't have enough opportunity for input. So workshops, really well advertised for the public, move them all around the county. Mostly we're very supportive of zoning more land for housing. You hear me say that all the time. We're very supportive of increasing the density. The minimum density concept will work very well if you make sure the development standards don't get in the way of actually meeting the minimum densities. We find that we can't get to the minimum densities on a lot of land because there are too many development standards that occupy how the land is used. And anything you can do to make the development review process smoother, more streamlined for single family, multifamily, and mixed use would be a big help. Bottom line is the home building industry really wants to work with county government to address a lot of the issues that you want to get to, like affordable housing. But you're going to hear me say it a lot, is the projects still have to make financial sense for us. So that's why it's really got to be cooperation, compromise, and communication. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. The Reverend C. Height, followed by Michael Kovacs.
B2, request to approve an agreement with the firm Adams and Lacerno to provide state-mandated legal representation services for mentally disordered offenders at Atascadero State Hospital. Recommend approval and instruct chairman to sign. I'm going to recommend that you don't approve this unless you determine whether there's complaints against this firm, because I am aware of dissatisfaction. And I'm not making these statements as an advocate, but simply as a reporter, and all reporters know that slander is something that must be avoided. It's extremely important that you can prove what you have to say. I did make a recommendation for a public defender, and I have no legal means of withdrawing that recommendation, and I certainly would do that if I could. I am aware, certainly we don't want predators released into our environment in the state of California, but when it says state-mandated legal representation services, that means more than just representation. If It means aggressive defense, and if there can't be aggressive defense, then I don't think that this is really meeting the call. I'm aware of a case, and I have signed for this case. I have received this case. This is a criminal case file. I reviewed it. This is a matter of public record. And this particular case, if it was a high school book report, it would have flunked for the errors in this case, the conflicting information, the physical evidence conflicts with testimony, how something like this just goes on and on is sort of beyond me. It would have flunked as a book report because it isn't credible. However, a simple aggressive defense would have managed the problem, and it didn't happen. Now everyone's concerned about predators being in the environment, but this is where I came into the county. And that was that I stayed with a rehabilitation counselor who simply was doing her job in rehabilitation with Atascadero clients. And there should be no connection between the county and the state voc rehabilitation. This counselor got me my first job at the California State Vocational Rehabilitation. And she lost her job doing her job. So I have real concerns that who you put in place is not just in place. When it says state-mandated legal representation, I think when we talk about freedom and justice for all, I think that all things have to be considered, and it has to be.
And thank you for your comments. Michael Kovacs, followed by Patricia Wilmore. When your name is called, if you could come to the opposite microphone, please. It saves us a lot of time.
Yes, I am Michael Kovacs. I'd like to add this B6, 10, and 11. These are the staff is giving out outside subcontracts for work that obviously can be done by inside engineers on staff, paid very well by the public. Have you ever looked into these? Any one of your members of the board? And B12, 13, and 14. Staff is proposing no special tax increases, tax rates, to increase county government revenues in order to cover the increasing county government costs. Have you ever thought about balancing budget by decreasing the existing level of costs of your honorable government? Have you ever given a thought to that? Cost cutting. Everybody is doing it in this nation but you. During the past 18 years, since I've been coming here as a concerned citizen to preserve our county's number one rank in the state of California, I have never seen the board disapproving any fiscal increases, fee and tax increases proposed in these consent agenda items. Are you board members pre-approved them before these are printed? Or do you keep rubber stamping because you full-heartedly agree with them? Which one is the case? Also, when are you going to answer one of our questions? Every time I ask a question to our state senators, congressmen, president, or other national leaders, I do get a reply, not from you. 18 years I have never had one. Yes, I do get replies, even from the President of the United States. One of them, many of them, here is in my hand, signed by George Bush and Laura Bush yes, this is not a boilerplate-produced reply, Chairwoman Bianchi. We expect you to be more public and citizen-sensitive in the future.
Thank you for your comments. Patricia Wilmore, and that's my last consent agenda request to speak.
Good morning, Chairperson Bianchi, members of the board. My name is Patricia Wilmore. I'm here representing the San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce, and we would like to take this opportunity to reiterate to you our interest in this county providing adequate and safe workforce housing. This has been an issue for our chamber for some years. We did create about 3 years ago a position paper on this, outlining the importance to the business community that both the cities and the county move ahead expeditiously on this issue. We do appreciate the work of your staff, and we anticipate that you will move forward in a very positive manner. We are part of the Workforce Housing Coalition, and this includes the League of Women Voters, the Housing Trust Fund, the Home Builders. You have a core group of community leaders, I want to assure you, who are out here working on this problem and hoping for solutions. And we do place confidence in you that you will also take action that will support solutions. I have with me today our Housing Task Force Chair, Donna Lewis. Again, as a message to you to emphasize how important this is to the business community and the San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce. Thank you.
And thank you for your comments. And now, Mr. Edge.
Thanks, Madam Chair. This was on the public comment.
Yeah, yes, it was. And I didn't see your request to speak for.
It's nice to see Mr. Kovacs back offering his insights into government. It didn't seem right last week that we were missing him. On the Parks Commission comments, I just wanted to remind the public that the board's budget hearings begin next Monday, 9 a.m. in these chambers. And in addition to that, just to note a couple of items. My office, I or my office staff are happy to visit with any of your various commissions to talk about the budgets relevant to their specific items. Parks Commission hasn't asked us to do that. We wish that they would. And also to note that, as your board is aware, you seem to have a plethora of people with ideas of how you should spend more money. You seem to have a distinct dearth of commissioners coming in offering the places that you can get that money from. And that's the nature of their single issue interest, and that's appropriate. But for your board next week, you have that task of balancing a limited revenue pie with some rather large expenditure requests. And that's the challenge that you face on everything, including parks. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there, Mr. Ovett, do you have any items on the consent agenda you would like to pull?
No, Madam Chair.
Mr. Patterson.
Yes, Madam Chair, item B9, please.
Okay, Mr. Lenthal.
No, ma'am.
Mr. Ashajan.
This time, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, item B9, Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Item B9 is an item regarding the status report of our housing element, and staff is here to give a presentation on that.
What now? They'll be.
Well, it was part of the consent. Do you want to? On the agenda.
If they would like to speak to that, fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Dana Lilly with your planning staff. And I'll just make a few brief comments. As you know, the county does have the housing element. That's what it looks like. And I'm proud to say it's fairly short and easy to read. I encourage members of the public to pick it up. It's available online at slowplanning.org. As you probably remember, back on December 16th of 2003, the board adopted the housing element. It was a formally it was a housing element update, but in reality it was a complete rewrite of the old housing element. And subsequently the board amended it in July and got state approval of our housing element, which is notable in itself. Staff began working implementing those programs, though, after the board adopted it in December. There was a lot of work to be done. We had to conduct a lot of research into what other cities and counties throughout the state are doing in a variety of types of programs. We had to consult with the home builders, Jerry Bunin and his team, met with us on a number of occasions so that we could include their information early on as we developed our proposals. We had a number of public workshops to get input from the public about how affordable housing programs should be formed, prices, inclusionary housing, a lot of different topics. The approach we are taking is to publish what we're calling concept papers on a number of topics to outline what your planning and building department thinks should be done in a number of different programs, obtain additional public input, and then prepare draft ordinances, and on those draft ordinances have an environmental impact report prepared, a financial feasibility analysis prepared, as well as something we call a nexus study to make sure there's a legal connection between any proposed requirements and a legal status of those. The bottom line is we think we'll be back in front before your board for adoption of a large package of ordinance amendments and possibly some general plan amendments in 2006. One of the more notable and possibly controversial proposals is inclusionary housing, and we published a concept paper on that May 13th. It too is available online at slowplanning.org under long-range planning, and I will have to say it is a fairly aggressive proposal to require a lot of affordable housing with new housing developments, to require payment of fees by new commercial developments, and finally it outlines how the Planning and Building Department proposes that how we define affordability of housing be changed. In a nutshell, we think that our current ordinance results in sales price ceilings for affordable housing that are too high. And it also, our proposal puts forward how we think home ownership can be, at least government-sanctioned affordable housing in the home ownership sense, can be made affordable effectively in perpetuity, at least for 45 years. We're budgeted.
Excuse me, that's 45, not 425.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At least 45 years. We believe that we are budgeted accordingly to get the work that we've discussed in the staff report done in the next fiscal year. I don't know what we'll propose for you to consider in our budget in the next year. We'll be deciding that during the coming fiscal year. I'm available for any questions.
Are there any questions of Mr. Lilly? I see no lights coming up here, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate your comments. Well, I haven't finished my comments because I just wanted to make a comment on B19, and I know that the subject of voting machines is extraordinarily important in modern society, because with computer enhanced systems, it is unfortunately easy to hack into them on some occasions, and I'm very aware of that, and will be watching it as closely as I can. So rest assured, Eric. Thank you.
Second.
May we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Ovid?
Aye.
Mr. Shajian?
Aye.
Mr. Linthal?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi?
Yes. Okay, that concludes our consent agenda. And if we could move on to item C1, please, may we have an introduction?
Item C1 is a submittal of a resolution vacating a portion of Upper Lopez Canyon Road, a purported public road in the 4th District. This item was continued from May 24, 2005. Recommendation is for approval, and instruct the chairperson to sign.
Thank you very much. May we have a staff report, please?
Good morning, Madam Chair and Honorable Board. I'm Tim Smith, your county right-of-way agent. On May the 24th, your board directed staff to clarify the description of the proposed road of vacation to accommodate the boundary alignment with the U.S. Forest Service property line and to bring the matter back to your meeting today. The amount of area to be vacated was reduced at the request of the representatives of the Jansen Trust and other property owners. Public Works staff has revised the resolution to accommodate your board's directive accordingly. This matter is presented to your board for its consideration. I've been informed by the District Ranger, Kathleen Phelps, from the U.S. Forest Service, that she is satisfied with the revised legal description and she supports the department's recommendation. Okay. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Are there any questions of Mr. Smith? Okay, I see no lights. So with that, I will open it to the public. The first speaker is Warren Sinsheimer. The second speaker is Tim Carmel.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. My name is Warren Sinsheimer. I'm an attorney in San Luis Obispo. I am here today representing the trustees of the Jansen Trust as well as members of the Mano family, both of whom are up-road or upstream owners, if you will, from the point where Upper Lopez Canyon Road is proposed to be abandoned. We, since the last time this matter was before you, we have reviewed the revised staff recommendation. We are pleased to see that the abandonment will no longer occur within the National Forest. That really eliminates what could have been a problem of negotiating access with the federal government, which could not have been assured by your board's action, and we suspect would not have been as easy to accomplish as it might be. We have a form of easement agreement which is circulating among the property owners upstream from the point of abandonment, including the applicants and our clients and also members of the Rigetti family, and I think Mr. Ogden will speak on their behalf. We are still concerned that the abandonment not impair access to the upstream properties. The easement, I think, is subject to agreement. Mr. Carmel may be able to address that on behalf of his clients. As far as access itself for people and vehicles, that doesn't seem to be a problem. I think we're down to an issue of how we define access for utilities. The proposed resolution reserves access to PG&E and to SBC. As a public road, there would be the potential to install any kind of utilities, and I would remind you of a couple of things. First of all, one of the concerns about use of this road has been that there is no communication service available in Upper Lopez Canyon because of the topography. It could very well be that there will someday be some kind of utility that would provide better communication than is currently there, and that would be a tremendous assist for both private and public safety. And secondly, to limit the description of who has the right to put utilities in to two companies isn't very forward-looking. 20 years ago, I don't think SBC did business in this county, and I don't know whether they will be doing business here 20 years from now or what may be the appropriate kind of public utility that we may be looking at. So we are trying to make sure that it's for public utilities of every description in the event that things change in the future.
Yes, Mr. Ashajan.
Thank you. Mr. Sinsheimer, do you have a language to offer?
That is in the – I'm not suggesting that you change the resolution. We've covered that in the private agreement that's circulating among the owners, and we're hoping that that's going to be able to be signed by everybody. If your resolution reserved an easement for public utilities of every description, that would certainly be satisfactory to us, but I can't speak for the other people involved.
But as far as you're concerned, that is an issue for you. If that was to be taken care of, your folks are satisfied.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for your attendance. Mr. Carmel, followed by Mr. Ogden.
Madam Chair, members of the board, thank you for the opportunity to speak.
I represent the applicants in this proposed abandonment who have waited a long time and paid dearly, including all county costs. I appreciate Mr. Sinsheimer's candor. With regard to the private access issues, there are none. We executed his access agreement prior to the last meeting. The only private issue that remains, and it's not really a private issue, is public utilities. Of course, the county has jurisdiction over public utilities. If the county wants to reserve a public utility easement, vague, which is what's being requested, public utilities of every and any nature, which would encompass the entire roadway, the county has the ability to do that through its own resolution. That's the process. We were presented with an additional an agreement on Friday, and my clients, two of them, haven't had an opportunity to look at it or address that issue. But again, the issue of private utility or of public utilities up that canyon, which I've been told are expressly for the purpose of ultimately developing Upper Lopez Canyon, is perfectly within your purview. If you want to reserve that easement, you can do so right now, here today, in your resolution, although I don't think it's relevant, as you've already sent out to every utility company a request, if you want an easement, we'll reserve it for you. Two responded, and you've done so. This is a public safety issue. It's a public safety issue, and it should be looked at as that. We're talking fire, crime. You've heard endless testimony about these issues. I'm not going to bore you with it. What we ask is that you act on the resolution today, that the vacation resolution is critical with the fire season upon us. These private issues are resolved. Access has been granted under the previous agreement. There's nothing left, and we're looking at a very dangerous fire season. The longer we prolong this process, the greater the possibility of serious and potentially devastating disaster here. So on behalf of the applicants, we urge you to adopt the resolution. It's supported by CDF, U.S. Forest Service, Fish and Game, Sheriff, there's no the Resource Conservation District, every member of Upper Lopez Canyon Road, every resident, with the possible exception of Mr. Sinsheimer's clients who are demanding this easement, which we don't really feel is appropriate for this discussion. Anyway, be glad to answer any questions. Urge you to act today to adopt this vacation resolution. Thank you.
Did you have more questions? Mr. Ogden.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Honorable board members, I'll be brief. I think you've now heard from Mr. Carmel, Mr. Sinsheimer, and now you're here from the Rigettis. I'm their official representative today. If the language today is not limited to these two utilities by name, but all public utilities of any nature, then you'll have everyone's support for this vacation of the road. It seems to me to be some simple language that can be agreed upon right now, and that's the only concern it's ever been for Mr. Sinsheimer's clients in mind, that we not take two steps back as far as what property rights we have and what we'll end up with if the vacation goes forward. So I would just echo what I think I heard Mr. Carmel say and Mr. Sinsheimer, that if the board reserves in the county the right for public utilities of any nature in an easement, then this should go forward today. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. With that, it was my last request to speak form. I'll close it to the public, bring it back to the board for comment and or action, or both. Mr. Ovitt.
I'll do next. I just
need to get a point clarified. The Exhibit A mentions these two because they are existing easements that are there currently?
They are. The process, the road abandonment process, is we contact the utility companies, and these are the two that responded. And Mr. Sinsheimer is correct. A couple of years ago, SBC didn't exist in this particular area, but they superseded or stood in place of Pacific Bell.
And this would happen if SBC changed over.
Right. And
thank you.
They have, I think it's in the phraseology, franchise right, also in any existing right and franchise right. So that would be assignable.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Ashaja.
Thank you. Mr. Smith and or council gentlemen, can you help? I'm going to approve the staff's recommendation, but I would like to not necessarily name any utility companies, just to take that out of the picture, that we can say any utility company
Certainly we can put that in. I'd suggest that if the board wants to incorporate language like that, that maybe what we should do is continue this for an hour while we talk to the attorneys and see what language they want in and what language they can agree upon. Unless they can agree at this point and have a spokesman who can tell us the exact language which they would like in the description.
So
I would
that's acceptable.
Instead of, I know we waited this long, we can wait an hour, but it's not all that complicated. I would just in a generic form to say any utility companies that are here. I'm sorry?
Am I?
Yes. Mr. Ovid.
On the resolution, if you just say Pacific Gas and Electric Company or current utility, and the same thing, either SBC or current utility, leave it go at that.
Yeah.
It's done. Because I think what Mr. Smith was saying is it's already included in that, that any successors in whichever utility it is. And leave it go at that. I we're going to wordsmith this thing to death, and we'll be now an hour and then another hour.
Let's not do that. And
if Mr. Lindholm is writing frantically.
The easiest way to do it, I believe, would be to say Pacific Gas and Electric Company and any successor in interest.
Is your mic muted?
Okay. Start over again. I think the easiest way to handle it would be to say Pacific Gas and Electric Company and any successor in interest and do the same thing with respect to SBC, and that should take care of the situation. Does that take care of the situation, Warren?
Mr. Sinjammer, yes, please.
If we could say public utilities of every description, my concern is, not, and I'll use, for example, broadband. We've got fiber optic cable that extends through this county that was put in by a number of companies which were not the successor of any prior company. They just were putting in fiber optic cable. And if we limit it to PG&E and SBC and their successors, we may not have the ability to deal with a public utility in the future that is not a successor to one of those. I don't think that does damage to the concept we're dealing with if we say public utilities of every description.
Okay, so we would say Pacific Gas and Electric Company and any and all other public utilities of any description, and we would put the same language in the following paragraph with respect to SBC. Is that what you'd agree upon?
I think that works.
Okay.
Very good.
So I move approval with the corrections as read by our counsel.
Second.
Second.
Mr. Ovid beat you to the punch. May we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Shajian?
Aye.
Mr. Ovid?
Aye.
Mr. Linthal?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi?
Yes. And that concludes a lengthy process. So with that, we will move on to item C2.
Thank you.
This item, do we need to have your statement that this has been continued, Vicki?
I believe your board needs to take a formal action to continue it.
We do?
Yes.
And does it require a voice vote only?
A voice vote would be.
Okay.
I move we continue. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Opposed? So this is continued until June 28th. With that, we will have an introduction of item C3, please.
Item C3 is a hearing to consider an ordinance amending various sections of Title 19 to the Building and Construction Ordinance, all districts. Item was introduced on June 7, 2005. Recommendation is for approval and instruct the chairperson to sign.
Thank you. May we have a staff report, please?
Hi, Michelle
Journey. You're muted.
Red one.
The bright red.
Thank you. I'm Cheryl Journey. I'm the building official for our county. This was introduced on June 7th. These are the majority of the changes are non-substantive editorial changes to clean up language content or poorly written or inconsistent sections to unify amendment language that affects the different codes and code sections. The structural provisions that we're adopting by Exhibit A, which are an exhibit that are attachment to the California Building Code, are changes that are not included in the 1997 Uniform Building Code, which we are adopting. The California Building Standards Commission did not adopt the 2000 IBC, but sent their commission back to investigate and a hearing in March. And so these update of the structural provisions include seismic zone near source factors, basic load combinations, detailing requirements for seismic requirements, and update of any design standards that have been updated since 1991, which was the last amendment change that we did, adopting the 91. So we're trying to keep abreast of structural changes and amendments that have occurred, even though the state is lagging on adopting a 2000 IBC as a model code. Any questions?
Are there any questions of staff? I see no lights. So with that, I will close it, open it to the public, and I have no request to speak forms. And I don't see anyone getting up, so I'll close it to the public and bring it back to the board.
Staff's recommendation?
Second.
And that's to waive the reading?
And waive the reading.
Sure.
And give the clerk a break.
Thank you.
Second that, give the clerk a break.
May we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Hajdajian?
Aye.
Mr. Linthal?
Aye.
Mr. Ovitt?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi?
Yes. With that, we will move on to item C4.
We want to take a break before we go to...
You want to take a break first?
We
will not move on to item C4. We will take a 15-minute break and return at 10:30.
That's 16 minutes.
Oh, I can't. No, they can't go to the system.